for me.
Blog Talk Radio.
Ah, thank you, British Lady, and thank you even more for that stunning countdown before the show started. I wonder if she ran off with the count because she starts going, one beautiful minute, two. But the count rocks. The count and Cookie Monster were probably the best two. They had to be the three best Sesame Street characters for a million reasons. Maybe we ought to make a show out of that one night. But nevertheless, welcome to Pop Culture Stars. Today is 2 days plus Valentine's Day, February 16th, 2022. We hope everybody had a wonderful Valentine's Day and at least bagged a hug out of things, maybe a little more. Things were going right. But anyhow, we hope everybody had a great Valentine's Day. And probably moreover, the Super Bowl. We hope everybody enjoyed all that. And that'll be tonight's launching pad. You know, we can never stay on track, but we're going to start with that first because I have a tinfoil hat conspiracy thing going on that I need to put out there. So somewhere this evening, we will go ahead and put on our aluminum foil hats brought to you by Reynolds Wrap and carry on about how crooked NFL is. But before we go into that, I want to introduce my wonderful esteemed panel that I hold dear to my heart over in the fantastic state of Arkansas. Back with us tonight to keep us all laughing, my Granny Hulkster. What's going on, young lady? How are you?
Well, hello. I'm doing well. It's been a busy week, but you know, I'm doing good and watching it rain tonight. We got a slow rain. We're supposed to have some severe storms, I guess, early in the morning, but I don't think we're supposed to get any snow or anything like the Kansas City area is supposed to be getting, but I know you got some snow up there, don't you, Tim?
wow, trying to find the mute button. We did with that last bout, but it's just about gone now. Well, we got a little bit of flurries. I guess it did cover the ground. I don't know what day that was, and I didn't know anything about it. And we're supposed to be getting now with what's coming down the road. Yeah, it's the same thing. Whatever Kansas City gets, we get. However, it's a bit warmer here, I think. So to whereas, well, they may not have gotten it yet. Sorry, I was talking to somebody who works in Kansas City today. Like where I work, we've got.
They're supposed to be getting it tonight or early in the morning. Because I talked to my mom in Kansas this morning or this afternoon, and she said they're supposed to get 4 to 6 inches where she lives.
Okay. Okay, so it's still on the way for them, but I think that by the time we get that, or maybe they already got a bout of rain, I don't know, and that's what we're slated to get. But I think it's going to be a bit of a mix. I don't know. You know what? At this point, and I think I said this last time when we were getting Snowmageddon in here, I don't give a damn what anybody says. I just wait, and I look out the window, and I go, huh, look, it's snowing, or huh, it's raining. That's the weather forecast, you know, that I need right there.
Well, I know almost 2 weeks now. Well, you know, whenever we got that 10 inches, I know my husband, he had to work like he had put in 110 hours in 2 weeks because they were working 12-hour shifts and they were dividing up the crew. Some of them were working 12 hours a day and some were working from 6:30 at night to 6:30 in the morning. So, you know, it was, but I know he put in like 110 hours in like 2 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cause I said, if we get the snow again, then the guys that work days will be on nights and the guys that work nights will be on days. They're just going to rotate them. So if we get any more bad snow again, he'll be working from 6:30 at night to 6:30 in the morning. So.
Good grief. you know, it makes that tough. And I understand why they do that, you know, because cops will do it too. You know, they rotate out. But I can tell you the amount of the toll that it takes on your body when you're trying to adjust, because Lord knows being in retail almost 40 years.
Yeah, man,
I've done my shift, my share of overnights. And I know, you know, at the club. Yeah, I mean, and you guys know, you know, like before inventory, I know before inventory, man, sometimes, you know, we would work overnight for 2 months prior to the inventory. And you know, inventory would happen on a Monday, and then Tuesday they got you scheduled to open. After, you know, after 2 months worth of going to bed at 8 in the morning, they expect you to come to work at 06 in the morning. And, you know, when you're 25, you ain't sleeping no way, man. But when you hit your 40s, that transition is tough, man.
It makes it hard.
Yeah. I mean, you're almost better having one or the other. Or like cops do, I think they go on a 3 or 4 month rotation where they say, you know, this block is all overnight, this block is all during the day. And it gives them a little better chance to reacclimate themselves. So yeah, because that's tough. I mean, it's even doing it for a week and then trying to get back into the groove is tough. It, you know, it, I don't know, it just throws your clock off, your internal clock, and that ain't easy. So hopefully he'll be able to hang in there and just keep getting it. Pretty soon we'll have this snow behind us, hopefully. Got about another month and a half, and then we'll start dealing with the yellow stuff, which to me is just as damn bad, if not worse. But nevertheless, Granny, fantastic to have you aboard this evening. I'm going to swat it over there to that fine city in Indianapolis and ask our good brother Tim what shaketh this evening.
Well, as we were discussing in the green room, I'm not shy. I don't care about my health information being spread across the whole population of however many people are listening here. But I have once again been struck down by the COVID gods. I tested positive on one of those home tests. So, yeah, I know they're not 100% accurate, but I am feeling crummy like I got it. So doing the whole isolation thing here, not going into work, working from home. I'm blessed that I've got that opportunity. But suffering a little bit, not a whole lot. I'm not completely tied to bed or anything like that. Believe me, I have been enjoying longer naps, and I am a little bit more tired. But I have a feeling here by tomorrow, the next day, I'll be a little bit better. I've already given my meteorology report, so I can skip that part. You mentioned Super Bowl, and I wanted to be sure to tie into, make sure that you are watching this, and I'm sure there's nothing to it, no conflict of interest. There was something that I found odd about Roger Goodell sitting with Russell Wilson up in the stands in the suite, and I kind of was like, what in the world is that all about? There was that I was going to touch on. Yeah, and I lost my other train of thought, but So it sounds like we were on the same page there. So I don't know if we want to get started on that right away or what, but I'm curious what your thoughts are.
We can ease into it. I mean, you know, first off, you know, I watched the game and I thought it was a good game. You know, it was a very fast game. It was a game went by like a blur. It wasn't one of those ones where, and we've all had our Super Bowls where, and every now and then, I don't know if you guys go to people's houses. Usually I'll sit here at the house and watch it myself. On occasion in the past, we have gone to somebody else's house and watched the games. And there are some where you go and, you know, the game's over, and you're like, all right, man, game's over. All right, give everybody a hug. You get in your car, you drive home, and you're like, God, Jesus Christ, it's 12:45. Game was wrapping up at 10:30. And I was like, damn, all right. It wasn't as high scoring. I had predicted the score to be a 34-24 game. I'd also predicted Cincinnati to win. But nevertheless, you know, it's still a decent game. I enjoyed watching it. And
yeah, same.
You know, it wasn't that bad. You know, they could have, you know, right now the Al Michaels, Chris Collinsworth thing, you know, Al Michaels, he's the last of the good announcers, if you ask me. He's, you know, the guys I listened to when I was growing up, you know, the Cosells, the Jacksons, the Al Michaels, all those guys, they're all gone.
John Madden.
Madden, right. Summerall. I couldn't stand Summerall, but nevertheless, you know, another one of those voices. And that leaves us with Collinsworth. And, God, he is such a freaking egghead, man. He is worse than Phil Collins. No, Phil, we love Phil Collins. Phil Collins is fantastic. I meant Phil Sims. Sorry, Phil Collins. You rock, dude. But Phil Sims is another ass bag. He was so bad with what's his name? Dirty Boy. Does the NBA, and now he's with Romo. God damn it.
Oh, Troy Aikman?
No. He does the one with Buck. The one with Romo. Old guy. Nance. Jim Nance.
Oh, Jim Nance. Yeah.
When Phil Sims was with Jim Nance, oh, my God. I mean, you almost felt like Jim Nance asked for Phil Sims' autograph between every quarter. I mean, just such an absolute sycophant type of conversation. And Phil, if you didn't know anything about football, you would swear that Phil Sims was the Wayne Gretzky of football. And so you listen to Collinsworth, and I mean, God, Jesus Christ. Hey, you know, you'd have thought, you go to the Hall of Fame and you're looking around and you're like, what's all this Jerry Rice stuff? Where's Collinsworth? Isn't he the greatest receiver in NFL history? when Beckham hurt himself, and I mean, he went on a rant every damn play because Beckham's hurt. And the whole time I'm going, you know, has everybody forgotten this young man named Cooper Kupp over here that just got dorked out of the league MVP? The guy won the triple crown in receiving. It's only like the third time in NFL's history it's been done. And they gave Aaron Rodgers the MVP. You know,
yeah, that was a wild. I don't understand that either.
That's a head scratcher. But he kept just carrying on about Beckham. I'm like, dude, man, he's the second best receiver they got on that team. Shut the hell up and let him play some ball, Collinsworth. You know. But
right.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't that bad of a game. Like I said, when I hit my tinfoil hat. Y'all brace yourselves because I'm going to open a pretty nasty can of worms on the NFL. But nevertheless, what was y'all's thoughts?
Well, before we go too deep into it, I want to touch – you're kind of speaking about your opinions of the different staffs there. I'd like to put in my two cents because, for the most part, I honestly I have a little bit of a difference of opinion with you. Not real strong, but – I never minded Chris Collins, and I agree with you. He has to, like, get all dramatic about it. Somebody goes out, and he has to go overboard, and, you know. But it's funny how the words out of his mouth shift as the momentum shifts in the game. He'll be saying, well, now they just can't get – well, now they're just not – and he will badmouth them. And then all of a sudden they get a first down for 40 yards. Now that's when they do da-da-da, and he, you know, just starts backing up, and all of a sudden they're the world's greatest team who has the master plan and have had the whole game. It's like, what the hell are you talking about? So there's that. The only reason they grew on me, Phil Sims and Chris Collinsworth both, when I started watching we're going back some years here because I think I may have been in between places. I moved back in with my mom for a few months while I was trying to find a house to buy. So I let my lease run out on my apartment, and I just shacked up with her, and I thought, oh, whatever, fine. And she had HBO, and I was able to catch, I think it was called Inside the NFL. And
yeah.
I loved that show. And it had Collinsworth and Phil Simms. And also this time period, this was kind of getting close to the time period when really what you heard a lot about was the Peyton Manning Tom Brady rivalry. I don't know. I know I lived with her. I think it was 2001 because it was right around September 11. But then, you know, I've fallen on and kept watching the show. And I remember hearing them kind of go back and forth about those two teams. But so that's why they grew on me. What I wanted to say was the person that I cannot stand on the Sunday night in America. And for a while, I kind of had my thoughts about what's his name? Is it Rodney? Because he was a Patriots player. But that was one reason why. Otherwise, I liked the contrast between him and Dungy. But, you know, for the most part, I was like, yeah, I could do it without him. But the new kid they got, in my opinion, and it's like I expect the Sesame Street song, one of these is not like the other. They need to be playing that in the background because Chris Collinsworth's son, who's on there, is the total tool that just needs to not be there. It's like I just want to put a sticker on his forehead that says, my daddy got me this job, you know, and you can tell nobody likes the kid. You know, it's like he has no business there. And he's got that stupid shit-eating grin on his face, and it's like, dude, just go away. Daddy got you the job. You need to go out and do it yourself. Go work somewhere else, man. I don't know what it is, but something just rubs me the wrong way about that kid.
Well, he's just like Joe Buck. Joe Buck. And you know what's funny about Joe Buck and Collinsworth is that if you're these executives, okay, they finally pulled the trigger on Phil Simms a couple of years ago, and they put him back in the damn studio, you know. But you can't tell me these executives don't, you know, see memes, that they're so far out of society that they don't see the memes that are being made and everything. How many people out there piss and moan and crack on Buck and Collinsworth? I don't think anybody likes them. But yet it seems like they're especially Joe Buck, they can continue to expand. You can't get away from this guy. I mean, he's on baseball, then he's on hockey, then he's on golf. And it's like, God, Jesus Christ, does this guy take a day off? Let me have a day off from him. You know, next thing you know, they're having full contact Uno or something like that, and there's Joe Buck calling the Uno game. I'm like, God damn it, come on.
Oh, I'm not a Joe Buck fan. I don't care for Joe Buck. The year that the Royals were in the World Series against the, you know, San Francisco, you know, Joe Buck was just everything Joe Buck was saying was about that San Francisco pitcher. I mean, every other word out of his mouth seemed to be talking about the pitcher for San Francisco.
Yeah.
And nobody else mattered. Like, you know, he didn't mention any other of the team players. You know, it was just he was always constantly talking about that pitcher for San Francisco. I mean, I just can't stand. I mean, I just muted the TV because I mean, I can't stand to listen to the guy talk.
I have even switched it over to ESPN Deportes and listened to a guy speak Spanish instead of listening to Joe Buck. You know what I mean? Because when I mute it, I miss all of the – I miss the audibles. I don't hear the hits. I don't hear the whistle blowing, you know. So you got to hear what's going on in the field. So, sometimes I just move it over there, and I'm, you know, like, listening to some guy speak a language I only know maybe 40 words of, and it's better. It's considerably better. But, yeah, Collinsworth.
Well, I'll tell you what. Well, I hate this delay. But, anyway, I was going to say, I tell you what I used to do. I haven't done this in a while because it doesn't always work. And quite frankly, it's you kind of have to pick your poison, what you can tolerate and what you can't. But we used to have, and I don't remember if he passed away or if I think they might have actually gotten, that's right, I think they got rid of him because he cussed or did something on the air. I don't remember. But we used to have a local guy on the radio station. His name was Bob Lamey. And there were a lot of people who couldn't stand him either. He was full of energy, which I liked. But nonetheless, he would commentate. You know, he would announce the games on the radio here locally. So what I always did, and this is, again, going back to my single, back in my house, when I could do whatever the hell I wanted, the game, Colts game, would come on, and I would mute the television. And I would, this is also back when you had your different stereo components. They don't do, kids these days, they don't do this crap. When I grew up, you saved up and you bought a new stereo component, and that's how my brother taught me to do it. He was like, you want some good quality stuff, you buy, you don't get your little jamba boom boxes, you get, you know, buy your stereo components and everything. And so
yep,
all that stuff I saved up. I had my receiver, my tape deck, my CD player, whatever, the ended up getting a subwoofer too. So in my house, I would have to turn on the tuner to 94.7. I'd crank up the volume on that sucker and listen to the game on the radio. Because they're giving a, it's there's two different pieces of quality to it. It's biased in the direction that I want to hear. So we're talking, you know, they are Colts announcers. So that's what I wanted to hear. And two, they're not giving you a bunch of BS about the different players' backgrounds and who came from a single parent family and who is able to donate this to a charity and who's real smart and who do I want to stick my, never mind, I won't, this is a family show, or at least we have to think it is. So anyway, we'll leave it at that. But you know, there's a lot of that going on when you're watching TV too. It's like they're basically living out their fantasies by, you know, talking to you while the game's going on. But anyway, you know, you didn't have that. The guy would just basically call a game. Pardon me. And so it was a play-by-play. He's calling the game. And it was, you know, you wouldn't hear any cheering for the other team. It was basically for, you know, always the Colts. And I liked that. But when I say you got to pick your poison is, there was always kind of a delay. And I think it would basically be you would hear the play first on the radio, and then a couple seconds later you would see the snap. So, you know, yeah, you'd get Manning drops back in the I formation, takes the snap, and, you know, he's sacked. And you're looking at him, he just snaps the ball, and you're just waiting to see his ass go down. And it's like, well, that sucks. So sometimes they had it a bit better. I don't know what it was, but I ended up kind of giving up on it. And then, you know, family hits, and it's just kind of like, all right, that doesn't make sense anymore to drown out the entire place with stereo. So I just live with the TV, but that was my solution back in the day. Radio is where it was at.
Yeah, because, like I said, I don't understand why these networks continue on. And there's some guys out there, you know, Gruden, despite his faults, I thought he was great calling the games. I thought he was fantastic.
Yep.
And then there's some other people out there.
Did you ever notice his energy, real quick? Did you ever notice his energy, like, going from when I saw him as a coach, and I didn't really know him that well, but you would see him on the sideline, and he just had this, like, frown on his face. It was almost like he was the original Cobra Kai leader. You know, he just had this, almost like this, nefarious look on his face, you know, like he was up to no good. And he wanted his, his team was, if they didn't go out there and crush somebody that they were playing against, like literally, then they weren't doing their job. And then all of a sudden he's a commentator, and he's like this happy, jolly guy who's just, you know, loves life and everybody in it, you know. It was like night and day. But yeah, I liked him too. I thought he did a good job. He had a lot of energy.
You know, because when he was doing the announcing, he was almost announcing like a coach, you know, and he would occasionally hit the, oh God, why did they run that? Okay. So here's what's going on, guys. You know, he made it entertaining just because he wasn't stiff. And my dad made a good point a couple of years ago when, what's his name, Greeny. God, what was it? Golic and Greenwell.
Yeah, it was a Mike, wasn't it? Because
Mike and Mike.
Wasn't it Mike Greeny?
Yeah. Well, I used to tell Dad, I says, you know, every time Green gets on there, I just get up and walk away. I said, I listen to Golic all day, but God, Jesus, Green's awful. And Dad says, that's because he's a goddamn journalist and not a football player.
Right.
And I stopped, and he says, he's probably the only thing he's ever caught in his life is probably a cold. But he's going to sit on there and he's going to talk shit like he knows everything. And I was like, man, that's pretty deep, Pop. So ever since then, I have a bad habit of looking at these guys, you know, like Joe Buck. I'm like, Joe, did you even play ball in school? You know, it's, you know, and Collinsworth, for God's sake, Collinsworth played for a losing team. They went to the Super Bowl that one year when it was Kenny Anderson and then Joe Montana heading off. What was that, like 83, 84, something like that when they had that, 81. But outside of that, he never made an impact. It just wasn't like he got anybody into the playoffs or winning. Cincinnati always sucked when he was playing for them. So it wasn't like he was this huge, impactual, you know, Peyton Manning. If Peyton Manning wants to talk shit, fine, because he's taken two teams to the Super Bowl. I'm good with that. Brett Favre wants to talk shit. I have no problem with that. Tom Brady wants to talk shit. I'm all good with that. But, you know, he said, but in the meantime, they got someone like Drew Brees doing the studio stuff who actually speaks like a human being and played the game and was one of the best. And why they let Collinsworth continue to sit in there and just yammer on and on is just, and Al Michaels, his contract is coming up. So now the speculation is that Al Michaels is going to be the one gone, and they're going to pair somebody else up with Collinsworth. I'm going, damn, you're getting rid of the wrong guy. You know?
So, I'll tell you what I found entertaining back in the day was, did you ever watch Monday Night? And this is kind of when I was just getting into football. Probably even maybe not quite there yet. But I remember that Monday Night Football was the only thing on because I didn't have cable back in my apartment. And so on Monday Night Football, I would watch it, and one of the most entertaining things about it was watching Dennis Miller. He put his own little twist to it. Apparently that didn't go over so well because I think he was only on for one season, but I thought he was funny.
Yeah, he was good. He just didn't know anything about football. And,
right.
You know, I mean, he made it painfully evident that he knew nothing about football, but he didn't act like he did. You know what I mean? He embraced the fact that he didn't know anything about it.
Right.
And there's some guys out there.
And it was unique.
He
was genuine about it, and he made it unique.
Right. If you ever heard Mike Tyson or Snoop Dogg do their commentating, calling fights, Mike Tyson calling fights, whether it's MMA or boxing, is absolutely phenomenal. And, you know, they got Lennox Lewis on HBO right now. Lennox Lewis gets on there, and I don't have a whole lot of use for Lennox Lewis because he was another one that ran from the big guys. Anybody might whip his ass he ran from. So that's how he held his belt for all those years. But Mike will get in there. And, you know, when they're in their fight, he's going, ooh, that one right there, that put his jaw on the other side of his mouth, man. Did you see the way? You know, some guy hits the head and goes, oh, good night, sweet dreams that someday he's going to wake up with a headache in the morning, that's for certain. And you can't help but just laugh like hell, and it makes it so much better. And of course, Snoop's just funnier than hell. I don't give a damn what nobody says. He has absolutely no concern at all. And by God, I think he does this thing. I don't know if you ever see. You can look it up on YouTube where he does Animal Planet. and he does like an Animal Planet thing, and he's narrating it, but he's narrating it like Snoop would, right? And it is absolutely hilarious. You know, they got this one where they showed, when they open it up, they show this seal, and this seal is like going in. I'll go let him in.
I think we got Stroh joining us, Dave.
Yeah.
Right on. I'm going to go inside and cue him in. Let's walk in at Will Manor here. But, you know, they've got this seal that's going in and out of the water, right? And Snoop is going, man, look at this show off. What's he doing? Man, he's going to mess around. Oh, I don't see nobody. Oh, there we go. He says, we're going to mess around, and he's going to get ate by something. Just by that time, the shark comes up and grabs the seal. And Snoop's like, oh, there you go. There you go. But it was funny because he's just being himself. He's not trying to be somebody that he's not.
Right.
And he's calling it as he sees it. And it makes it funnier than hell, and makes it watchable, you know?
He was great in commentary. Yeah. Hey, guys. Hello. Sorry to leave the party. Busy day, but...
Hey, Stroh.
Hey, can you hear me?
I can hear you good.
Can you hear me? Good, good.
Sure
good,
can. Excellent.
Yeah, well, I was just... Did you hear Snoop on commentary on that Tyson fight?
Yeah.
It was
hilarious.
It was tremendous. He stole the show.
Yeah. Yeah.
He stole the show. But the Super Bowl thing, I didn't see the Super Bowl. I'm sorry. I just couldn't get the interest up to watch it, really. but I saw the halftime thing through YouTube. And, oh, my goodness. You know, Father Time really hits us all. And, oh my goodness. I don't know. I honestly, I just thought it was overkill personally. Cause, if it had just been a few artists out there doing their thing, it would have been so bad, but it was like, they had so many people doing different things at once. And it just was, I mean, like Mary J. Blige, I mean, she's a hell of a singer, right? But it's just, no offense to them, but a lot of their time is like done and gone. You know what I mean? I mean, 50
yeah.
Cent. Wow. He's a...
When he was hanging upside down, I said, who in the hell is that? Or I said, who the hell is singing a 50 Cent song? I didn't even think it was him. And then when he flipped upside down and laid on the tree, yeah, I was like, wait a minute. That is him, ain't it? Not that I'm
so
deep
I saw
deep
something. I saw something on Facebook. I should have reposted it. Usually, what I do if it's just a picture, I'll screenshot it, you know, clip it, whatever. Either repost it or post it in here. This has been something I'd expect to see you post, Dave. It was great. It was basically they removed the audio and kind of did their own little snipping play on some of the performances. And they dubbed, I don't even know what the hell the name of the song is, but it was like every white girl, probably the like Valley Girl, loved this song back in like the 90s or 2000s, and it was making my way downtown, you know, that song. So they dubbed it where the dudes playing the piano, they have that piano intro, and then they start dancing and stuff, and it shows some of the dancers, and it was freaking hysterical.
Why couldn't you have done that? That's entertaining.
Yeah. I'm going to have to find it and either repost it or put it on our page at least anyway. But that was some good quality stuff. And in fact, it prompted me or inspired me to go back and look at there's an old video. You can Google this one too. Actually, I just posted it, so you might see it. It's Chad Johnson before he changed his name to Ocho Cinco. And he's doing they did the same type of thing, and they took a clip of him doing his touchdown celebration dance and they put over it, and it's perfect the way they sniffed the video around and made him dance into it. They put Girls Just Want to Have Fun over it. It's freaking hysterical.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And I saw some the media trying to push it. Now, I think this is more the media than actual people, honestly, with the spin. They're trying to spin, this is the greatest halftime show of all time. It's like, oh, my God, where have you guys been? I mean, we've had Prince. We've had Paul McCartney. Give me a break. You know, all the great halftime shows we had over the years.
Prince was certainly one of the best ones in my recent memory that
Nothing's ever going to – I don't care who you are. Nothing's ever going to top Janet Jackson City, okay? That's the best show right there. Nothing's ever going to top.
Look at what kind of press that got. My God, that was incredible.
Yeah.
Right. That was talked about more than the Super Bowl itself for the longest time.
Hey, even when J-Lo and Shakira got on there a couple years ago, I thought it was better. Despite the butt shaking, yeah, that was a plus. But I mean, I thought they actually put on a damn good show.
Yeah, they didn't need a thing. Honestly, just like dance.
Just keep dancing.
You know?
Couple of things.
Granny's clearing her throat, trying to make us remember there's a female on the line. Do you hear that? Granny's clearing her throat.
All right. Hey, you guys go right ahead. You guys go right ahead. I'm just enjoying listening to the conversation.
I bet you if Shakira and J-Lo was dancing around Granny, she'd be shaking her thing, too, right with them, man. It'd be incredible.
No, I wouldn't.
You see, Granny
wants
to dance.
Hey, I used to be able to dance to the song Wipeout, but I can't dance that way anymore.
Oh, you so should do that, Granny. We should so do
that.
My hips will not allow it.
My hips will not allow it. Trust me.
I can't dance to Wipeout anymore.
That would be amazing, Granny.
I used to be able to, but not anymore.
Yeah, that's
Granny tearing up the dance floor would be awesome.
Shakira can hit the hips don't lie, but I hit the hips don't try.
if I try a part of what those girls were doing in that show, man, I'd be in traction.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
Yeah, I don't know how in the world they liquefy themselves the way they do, but. See, when it was on, me and Rob was we had a couple little side bets going on, and I says, okay, one of them's gonna slip up an F-bomb. I says you can't use a particular word so many times without it just becoming a natural expression where it's just said and it's not even thought anymore. And the level of concentration, if you watch that, and I got to hand it to those guys. None of them dropped an F-bomb. None of them dropped an N-bomb. They were clean. But you could see the look on their face. Whenever it came up to the time where they would normally throw an F in there, you could see the level of concentration on their face. It's like, okay, can't screw this up. I can't say F. I got to make sure I get this line right. It almost looked like me in a sixth grade damn school play not wanting to screw up, but... That was funny. And then, of
Don't say doing your wife.
Yeah.
Don't say doing your wife.
Right.
Don't say doing your wife.
It was, yeah, don't make any mom jokes out here. The old junk grabbing, they held on to that last little bit, and then Snoop grabbed a fistful of his junk, and I'm like, ah, there we go. I knew we were going to get
up. What about Snoop's Austin Powers suit he had on, man? Oh, my God.
Yeah, that was pretty. That was pretty good. It looked almost like a Sergeant Pepper type thing. I was like, wow. But something I found interesting, and here I go. I'm gonna say something political that probably, you know, we'll get some damn shade thrown at me. But it's funny how they had that one bit, and all the guys came out dressed like convicts. And I'm going, okay, we're trying to get away from that perception. out and dance if they didn't have the thing, where they're all out there dancing in prison gear. You know what I mean? I'm going, oh, shit, guys, come on. You know, am I the only one noticing this? Yeah, please. But, yeah, it wasn't bad. You know, it had its
They forgot the part where Bubba chases him down. Bubba from prison chases the inmates down.
Yeah, didn't have the escape motif or anything going on. But and Mary Jane, now, I can tell you, on the first half of her performance, she was lip-syncing. Because there's no way a woman of her size and age, now, she could sing like you wouldn't imagine, but her age and her size, she's out there shaking it like these 20-year-olds, and there's no huffing and wheezing. And I told Dale, I said, yeah, she's lip-syncing right now. But then there was a break, and the dancers kind of went away, and she kind of got the stage all to herself, and then she started turning it loose. And I said, now she's singing. And, yeah, she's still got the chops, man. Chick can still sing. You know, despite the fact that we're all getting older and heavier. But, yeah, when it come down to singing, man, she was spot on.
When I was watching them, and I didn't pay attention a whole lot. I couldn't care less, but the wife was certainly into it. I don't know why. But when I was watching it, I noticed there were times when I saw the mic leaving the mouths, yet I still heard singing. And I didn't know. I think part of it was because they either were doing like a repeat to it, you know, like they would say a phrase and then maybe do like a pre-recorded what's the damn word I want to use. Anyway, you know, perhaps they were just kind of playing with the yeah, or like a recording or something. So that could have been. But nonetheless, I was like, wait a minute. It sounds like he's still singing, but he took the mic away from his mouth. So I didn't know if I was just off maybe a little bit, or if, like, again, if it was a recording thing or a backup or whatever, that could have been the case. I don't know, but I kind of got that feel a couple of different times that it could have been lip-synced. I don't know.
Yeah, it was.
You know, the show itself was great. The musicians, the musicians and the setup and everything was great, I thought.
And here I was all these years thinking rap music was played with a computer. It's like, you bring your instrument, and he's got a laptop in his hand. You know, they actually had, like, guitars and drums and shit, and I'm going, when did this
right.
start? I've never seen this. You know? But, yeah, I mean, it wasn't bad. That's
what blew me away about the Beastie Boys. They had, like, a whole band, like, when they do the live performances. And they would have a whole bit. Matter of fact, they would do like bits where, in between their songs, where it's just jam sessions with the band. It was pretty amazing.
They do a cover of Benny and the Jets from Elton John.
Mm-hmm.
It's absolutely phenomenal because they sing it just like it sounds.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd think they were loaded when they were singing it, but I mean, it you know how, like, when you listen to Elton John sing it, you can't understand what the hell he's saying, so you go look the lyrics up and you're going, oh, okay, all right, cool. It's almost as if you're just drunk and you're singing it exactly the way you hear it, and pretty good stuff. It never gets played, but yeah, kind of missed the Beasties, man. It's,
Oh, yeah. They were great.
Because what was it? It was Mike D that passed away a couple years back. Can't remember which one that passed away, had cancer. But, they had some good stuff over the years. And, you know, Snoop, he's got good stuff, and Dre's got good stuff. It's just, I don't know. It might just be the 51-year-old in me that's but I can tell you the – I still think it's a small part of a bigger thing, if you will. And Roger Goodell is the guy putting it all together. It just, And when I put my tinfoil hat on, that halftime show will be part of it. Trust me. So it's huge. The whole NFL thing is crooked as shit. Nevertheless, but how about commercials?
Oh yeah,
the commercials to me were.
I don't know.
I mean, I remember some of the commercials. You would come to work the next day, and you would talk about the commercials before you talk about the games. And the past couple Super Bowls, there really hadn't been any of them that really was over the top. The Schwarzenegger one I liked, but I liked it for all the wrong reasons. I liked it because Selma was in it. And you could have Selma Hayek just stand still for 2 minutes, and I'll watch it. I could care less. Yeah, I mean, if you don't find Selma Hayek attractive, then it's time to either check into the Betty Ford Clinic or perhaps talk to your shrink, because she is a
You don't know how many
flash.
Times how many times I've paused Selma Hayek and Dust Till Dawn dancing on the table scene.
Oh,
so many times.
Yeah.
Times get, oh, my God.
And George Clooney did great in that when he stopped, when the whole damn dance was over with, there's like this long pause where nobody says anything, and he does,
yeah.
Was that a great effing show or what? Like, yes, she is a knockout, son. And, you know, she cracked me up playing the
I love the line when she tells him, yeah, when she tells him, y'all make him my slave. And he's like, no thanks, I've already had a wife.
Yeah. And then they had a pet Pegasus named Peggy. And, you know, and Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
And anything Arnold does to me, Arnold's another one of them classics, man. I can't get enough of the guy. I think he's great. He don't pull no punches. He accepts his faults. He owns what he's done wrong, and he owns what he's done right. You know, he gets on there, and he's another guy that's learned to make fun of himself. You know, if he was arrogant at all, and they say, hey, we want you to sing in this thing, you know, we want you to sing Electric Avenue, you know, he'd shoot it full of holes.
I want to see
Arnold,
that. I want to see that. Arnold sing that song. Yes.
Yeah, he's good to go, man. I enjoy Arnold, so. But, yeah, even the commercials were a little.
Take me down to Electric Avenue. Yeah, I'd get, man, we got to make it happen.
But, yeah, I don't know. Like I said, it was just, they weren't bad, but they weren't phenomenal. It wasn't anything that I can remember, you know, where they start, you know, where I go to work next day and I'm like, did you see this? Never, yeah, didn't happen. So, if y'all don't mind, before we get too late in the hour here, if you don't mind me putting my tinfoil hat on and seeding the hate and the conspiracy, if you will.
Let the hate flow through you.
Let the hate flow. Good. All right.
Hey, I want to do a quick mic check real quick. You guys can still hear me, right?
I can hear you fine.
Okay. Because I'll keep it short, but usually sometimes if I get the low battery warning, for some reason it mutes me or something. I don't know. It's happened before. So I got that warning, and I wanted to be sure I was still good. All right, I'm done. Go for it.
Oh, we can hear you fine. Carry on. All right. So I wish I could do this on video with the dry erase board. So imagine me standing in front of a dry erase board right now. And at the top of it, I'm going to write, Roger Goodell is a crook. Okay. Okay. And, you know, here at Pop Culture Stars, we do address the occasional conspiracy theory. Lord knows many times we have hit upon certain aspects of life that make you go, aspects. And as I always say, I will quit believing in conspiracies when people quit doing sketchy shit. So with all that being said, let I proceed now that I have my tinfoil hat securely on my head. All right, so first off, let me address the Russell Wilson thing that, Tim, you touched on earlier. Okay. And this is why I'm going to ruffle some feathers, but it's just me calling it like I see it. All right. Roger Goodell.
Russell.
Yes. Russell the love muscle. Russell, okay. Goodell is trying to play all sides. Instead of running the league and being the man in charge, calling the plays. Because let's face it, when you're in charge, if you've ever been in charge of everything or anything, there are times you've got
to
make calls that you – well, that's not a bad thing, trust me. But sometimes you've got to make calls that you know people aren't going to like. If you're a dad, if you're a mom, if you're a boss at work, sometimes you are going to have to make a call that people aren't going to like, but that's all part of being in charge. But then there's that other route of being in charge where you try to placate to the staff, and you can't do that. Okay, so keep all that in mind. So you got Russell Wilson, okay? If you look at the quarterbacks who have really been knocking things over in the last 10 years in football, they're Peyton Manning, they're Brett Favre, they're Tom Brady, they're Drew Brees, Ben Roethlisberger. Okay, five guys off the top of my head. Okay, what do all five guys have in common? They're white. They are all Caucasian male. Okay?
No.
So,
wow.
Yeah. I mean, think about it. They all are all Caucasian guys. You know, just picture that. So, you're Roger Goodell, and you want to play the woke card, which I think everybody's really starting to dig in and find that that shit ain't working. But nevertheless, he wants to play the woke card. Okay? And again, the woke card is placating. Instead of telling the honest truth to people, you're trying to tell them what they want to hear. That's what the woke thing is. All right?
Mm-hmm.
So you get Russell Wilson. Why do you get Russell Wilson? He's not the only black quarterback in the NFL. You get Russell Wilson because he is the clean-cut choir boy kind of image on him. You don't see him at the clubs. You don't see him slugging his wife. He's always straight and narrow. When he does the press conferences, he's always, has a certain delivery when he speaks and everything. And so Roger Goodell goes, okay, I have to marquee a black quarterback because I'm trying to please everybody. Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to put Russell Wilson out here at the forefront, because if I take somebody like this guy over here, he beat up his wife. This guy over here, he got caught in the damn, stuffing $100 bills in a stripper's crack. This guy over here, shot four people, and another guy took the rap for it. So I got Russell Wilson. What happened to Russell Wilson in the last 2 years is this. He quit winning. So it's hard to marquee a quarterback that isn't winning. And especially after this year when the Seahawks only won like five games, right? So 2 years ago, something phenomenal happened in the NFL. A young man named Mahomes. Okay, so Patrick Mahomes got to the league. So here we are. Here's a young man, and I can see Roger Goodell already rubbing his hands together like a fly on a cheeseburger at the grill, you know. Okay, here's an interracial young man with a ton of talent. Okay, I'm going to make him my poster boy because I want to push him because he's an amalgam of the races. Because if I push Brady, he's a white guy. If I push Breeze, he's a white guy. But Manning, he's a white guy. I have to embrace everybody because I'm woke. Okay? So if you watch the Chiefs games, and Granny, I'm going to tell you ahead of time, I'm a closet Chiefs fan. I have no beef with the Chiefs at all. But it's painfully obvious that since Mahomes got in there, the officiating has been very, very skewed during their game. And that's even me speaking as a fan of the team, right? So Mahomes is doing something that Russell Wilson is not doing. He is winning, okay? So you've got
Tiger blood. Winning.
Yeah, I mean, the guy, the kid's got mad talent. I mean, just crazy talent. And he wasn't the one that lost that game. Their defense lost that game, nevertheless. So all of a sudden, Russell Wilson becomes second fill. All right. Then Russell Wilson turns up in Goodell's box at the Super Bowl. Okay. So Rodge is probably up there saying, hey, look, you know, you play for Seattle. They suck. Your contract is coming up. I'm going to do what I can to get you in one of these bigger market teams. I'm going to get you out of Seattle where 35% of the populace is living in a tent in the street. And I'm going to get you to a bigger market team so we can marquee you again and make you a winner. So, mark my words, when Russell Wilson moves, he will not end up in Minnesota. He will not end up in Jacksonville. He will not end up in New York. He will, because both of New York clubs, despite New York being a big market, the Giants and the Jets are two just joke teams. There's no way that you can even remotely look to them. But watch Russell Wilson. He is going to turn up on a big market team. And that's so he can be marqueed again. Because that's the face that Goodell wants to put on the field for the woke agenda. Okay? So now, we'll shove that little bit of damn Goodell as a crooked bastard to the side. You look at the halftime show. The halftime show, if you went and surveyed, you can't say that he didn't put that together with one agenda in mind. And I don't say it's wrong, and I think it's fine because, I mean, Christ, I don't know how many black folks listen to Tom Petty. You know what I mean? How many black folks listen to Rolling Stones? So you do have to mix it up. You do have to mix the different genres of music up, whether it be metal or rap or country or R&B or just straight pop. You do have to mix that up. But it seemed real conspicuous how it was suddenly done when you're doing all this woke stuff, when perhaps you could have had those guys doing the halftime show before they were gray and 400 pounds, right? Why couldn't you view it? Why couldn't you have had that same show back in 1998? You're doing it now because you're trying to be woke, and it's very disingenuous. Those gentlemen should have had that damn halftime show 20 years ago.
Oh, okay? God, yes.
Right. And not to say they would have been any more or less entertaining. My point being, though, is that it should not have taken this long for that show to happen. We should have been addressing all genres of music, and it should not have been all the rioting and the burning and all that kind of stuff that got people to realize that we need to embrace all cultures, and we all need to damn respect each other's culture. And to me, woke thing is disingenuous, and it's pissing on other cultures. Nevertheless, so now here's my big tinfoil hat thing. Guys, get ready. Drum roll, please. Okay. So you've got Cincinnati. It's a turd town. No offense, Cincinnati. You guys get a bad rap. Cleveland, Cincinnati. You know, they get a bad rap for being where they're at. They do. We all know that, right? So you got Cincinnati. Now, if you watch the Cincinnati-Kansas City game, you saw how hard towards the end of that game that the officiating was trying to sway the outcome of that game. But Joe Burrow, to his credit, outplayed the Kansas City defense on that second half. They won the game. And if you listen real close, if you were outside with your dogs or something, you could hear Roger Goodell in the corporate office going, no, because he doesn't want Cincinnati or Indy or Cleveland or Jacksonville or Carolina or Minnesota or Houston. He doesn't want those teams in the Super Bowl because they're small market, no flash teams. You see what I'm saying? If he had it his way, it'd be Pittsburgh and Dallas every goddamn year. Or Pittsburgh and New England every goddamn year. Why? Because it's a marquee thing, and he's trying to run a business. Okay? So, you go to the Super Bowl, right?
Wait a minute. I can't let you go forward without saying I think you're trying to test me here because New England and Pittsburgh could never be in a Super Bowl together. Unless there was
That's
a major
true.
Reorg in the NFL.
No, it would have to be a
All right, proceed.
Dallas, New England. Yeah, you're absolutely correct. So, now we're playing the Super Bowl, all right? And for the most part, L.A. controlled the pace of that game. And we all know that Cincinnati is a second-half team. You know, that's just how they roll. They go out there in that first half, they play a little soft, and then they come back, you know, in that second half and just devour it. And they've been playing like that all year long. So you go into halftime with the Rams controlling the momentum, and the first thing that Joe Burrow does is comes out and throws a damn strike out there 40 yards out. Now, granted, he did grab my man's face mask. He did grab the face mask. It wasn't, to me, I didn't feel like it was enough to, I don't want to say it. I don't feel like the face mask was enough to make that play happen. I almost feel like after the face mask, it went into the kind of the flop thing where we concentrated more on the flop than we concentrated more on defending the pass. That's just me. Nevertheless, Burrow gets on the board. Wham. Right ahead. Well, the next thing you know, the pace changes. And Cincinnati controlled that second half. All right. Goodell's sitting up in his booth, and he's thinking to himself, oh, shit. This is the worst thing that can happen because Joe Burrow is a cocky, young white kid. All right. Now, despite the fact that Chase's Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow's dads are smoking cigars together outside the stadium, they get it. They're regular people. They're like me and you. They don't see the stuff. They take people for their good, for their bad. They don't care the color of their skin or their national origin or their religion or their sexual origin. They take people whether they're good or bad. That's what normal people do, like us, okay? To somebody woke, like Roger Goodell, he's thinking, I can't have Joe Burrows winning this thing because he goes against what agenda I'm trying to push. Plus, may I rehash, that it's Cincinnati, and we can't send the Lombardi Trophy to a dump like Cincinnati. Okay? So, how do we fix that from Roger Goodell's booth? Glad you asked. The guys in the stripes. Throughout that entire game, the refs were non-existent. They let them play. They let them play. They didn't whistle every damn thing. They let those guys play. That's the reason why that game went by so fast, is because they weren't throwing laundry all over the floor throughout that entire game. They let them play football. So now there's a minute and a half left, and it's painfully obvious that Matt Stafford is not going to get that ball into the end zone. Very obvious that they just ain't got it. The run game is going nowhere. They're double covering Cup. You know, they got OBJ sitting on the damn bench. They're not going to punch that thing in without some assistance. And you've got to wonder, and here goes my conspiracy theory, and that's where I securely push that tinfoil hat on my head. All of a sudden, the rags started coming out. And they blew whistles on Cincinnati 3 plays in a row for doing less than what they had been doing the entire game. Okay? So in other words, I'm in a 35-mile-an-hour zone, and I do 100. And then tomorrow I'm 35, and I do 90. And today I'm in a 35, and I do 85. Well, on the way home, I do 37 in a 35, and you pull me. You see what I'm saying? And the calls that they were making on Cincinnati were calls they weren't making on either team all along. So you have enough of these penalties that pushed the Rams 25, 30 yards up the field and put them 2 steps away from the goal line. And again, and then there was even a false start done by L.A. on that third down where the whole goddamn offensive line moved. And they didn't call it. Why did they not call it? It's because the refs were so damn busy watching Cincinnati, because they got the buzz in their ear from the man up in the booth saying, we can't let those orange guys win. Do something. And they totally missed the false start by the Rams because they weren't even looking at them. And the next thing you know, the Rams going into them. Now, I didn't have a dog in that fight. I didn't care who won that game, for crying out loud. You know, neither one of those teams. It was good to see Matt Stafford get his day in the sun. I mean, for Christ's sake, that guy played for the Lions for all these years. Give the man a Super Bowl job. Shit, yeah, man. He's a good guy. He's suffered enough. You know, get him hooked up. Cincinnati, they've suffered long enough. They deserve one just the same. Yeah, I have no dog in the fight. I didn't care which team won. I had no money riding on it or anything like that. But it just seemed how all of a sudden once the refs got involved, how the tide of the game changed. The whole pace of the game, the whole vision of the game, everything about the game took a turn when those refs started throwing flags left and right. So for me, again, being John Q conspiracy theorist and just being a guy watching the damn game, I'm looking at it going, God, this is pretty damn sketchy. And you're probably sitting there going, well, you know, what are the Rams? Well, I'll tell you what the Rams are. The Rams are in Los Angeles. And it's a good way to piss all over Detroit, which you don't want in a Super Bowl either. I mean, think about Detroit, the city of Detroit, okay? Detroit goes to the Super Bowl. How many people in Detroit can really afford to go all out on a Super Bowl, buying jerseys, going to the game, throwing parties? Hell no. People are leaving Detroit in droves. So from a business aspect, you don't want Detroit in there either. So you get Matt Stafford out of Detroit, you put him in L.A. L.A. is L.A. Everybody wants to be in L.A. Look at LeBron James, what he's done. Everybody wants to get over there, right? The Dodgers, you know, the Lakers, blah, 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 blah. Okay? And you get Matt Stafford over there. So basically it gives the Lions the, you know, the passive-aggressive finger. And you put the Lombardi Trophy in a big-market team, and to punctuate this whole thing, you played it in a $5 billion stadium. And I don't know if you guys seen the layout of SoFi, but that thing is like the Enterprise. That place is an architectural, the ninth wonder of the damn world. So you can't have Cincinnati with their lily-white quarterback march into L.A. in the $5 billion stadium and win. You can't have it. So when they do start winning, what do? You pull that ace out of your sleeve, otherwise known as the refs. There's my rant. And, you know, again, am I maybe off base with this? Perhaps. But you can't tell me that even a Rams fan can't hear my rant and not stop for a minute and go, because it does bear thinking.
Well, you know, Dave, you know, the game against Kansas City and Cincinnati, there was a lot of people saying on social media that they were saying that Patrick Mahomes was told to throw that game so Cincinnati could win. And I
really?
Mean, you know, Patrick Mahomes, yes. I mean, people were saying that all over social media. And Patrick Mahomes even stepped up and took blame and said, hey, you know, it was my fault we lost. You know, Andrew Reid was taking the blame. You know, I mean, you know, but people were saying that, you know, Patrick Mahomes was told to throw that game. Now, I have a hard time believing that just because the way,
no,
I mean, Patrick Mahomes, he's
yeah,
a good quarterback.
He's not going to do that. Yeah, and he's
I mean,
a good
that's
man.
A bunch
of people
trying
to make up
the I mean, this,
for
isn't like, this isn't like the movie The Replacement, where Keanu Reeves supposedly threw that football game as a quarterback, you know. I mean, we're not
right.
talking about the replacements here. We're talking about the Chiefs. And, you know, and there were some questionable calls. I mean, kind of like the call when Cincinnati intercepted the football. I really think that should have been pass interference on Cincinnati against Kansas City. But, you know, like I said, the refs were – you know, and granted, you know, Cincinnati, I mean, look at this picture, guys. Cincinnati had not been in a Super Bowl since, what, 1988?
Yeah, it had been quite a while.
So, You know, so I'm just saying, you know, Kansas City, they've been in the Super Bowl the last couple of years, back to back. You know, they won the first year, then they lost to, you know, Tampa Bay. But, you know, and of course, I'm not a Brady fan, but, you know, I've never been a Brady fan, even when he was with the Patriots. But, I mean, but people were saying right and left, you know, oh, Patrick Mahomes was told to throw that game, you know. I'm like, no.
I wouldn't picture that young man doing so. Now, his brother, on the other hand, his brother and his girlfriend are scumbags. I could picture them doing it, but not Patrick. Patrick's too good of a young man. And I feel bad for him sometimes because he is the proverbial rock that Goodell's throwing through your window. You know what I mean? They push him so hard. Mm-hmm. They marquee that young man so hard that after a while, people are going to get tired of looking at him. And
I mean, people were saying that Patrick needed to focus on football, and the nights that he had a game, he needed to stay in a hotel so he could get a good night's sleep because of the new baby at home and because of all the commercials and yada, 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 yada. You know, and I'm like, I mean, win or lose, I will always support my Kansas City Chiefs. I don't care. I mean, I will always support my Chiefs.
That's right.
I am not one of these people that get on bandwagon, oh, well, you know, oh, we're winning or winning. When they start losing, oh, like, oh, I, you know, I hate the Chiefs, blah, 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 blah. Either you are a fan or you're not. If
Absolutely
you don't
correct.
Want to be a fan of the Kansas City Chiefs, get off, you know, go away. We don't need you. You know,
right.
I mean, we don't want you if you're not going to be a true loyal fan. But just don't get on the bandwagon whenever they're winning and when they're ever having a good season and all of a sudden they start losing or they lose one or two games and then they start talking trash about them. You know, no, you don't do that.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think the NFL has really shown its cards in the last two or three years when it comes down to, I mean, the NBA, and I will say this about the NBA, at least the NBA will come out, look you in the eye and say, yeah, we're crooked. But the NFL, they try to play all sides with that. Major League Baseball. I said this about them the other day at work. At least they do their cheating on the field. You know what I mean? At least ways, you know, like the whole steroid thing. All right. I don't care how many shots of damn steroids Roger Clemens took. He still had to throw that ball in the strike zone. Granted. Did perhaps the steroids, the HGH, or whatever they call it, did it make his fastball faster? Yes, perhaps. Did it make him heal faster after a pitcher, after a start? Yes, perhaps. But he still had to put that ball over the plate. And if you've thrown a ball, 63 feet from the pitcher's mound to a – it ain't easy. All right? So I don't care how many damn performance-enhancing drugs he's taking, you still have to have that ability to get the ball over the plate. Barry Bonds. Put lumber on the ball to get it to leave the park. Now, if you really want to do justice on Bonds, you take 25 feet off of every home run he hit. Since we're measuring home runs now, take 25 feet off of every home run he hit. How many home runs does he have? That's what he gets credit for. Because the man still hit the ball. And if you've ever been in a batting cage and been in a 90-mile-an-hour batting cage, you hear the ball come out of the machine, and then you hear the ball hit the canvas. You never see the goddamn thing. So how he was able to hit that ball out, rare, and special talent. So, of course, did he do something crooked? And I'll say this, too, about the steroid thing. When they were doing it, it wasn't illegal. It wasn't moral. It wasn't very Boy Scout of you. But it wasn't illegal, right? It was illegal afterwards. So let's just say 10 years from now, they say, you can't cook with a microwave. All of us are screwed because we've been cooking microwaves 30 damn years, right? So, you know, baseball has a different way of doing their crooked stuff. They do it on the field. Hockey doesn't give a shit. That's why I love hockey. Those guys just go out there and beat the piss out of one another and just let it go. But, yeah, football's been really sketchy lately. And I focus all on Goodell. I don't know. Still think he's the problem. Because he lets the players run the league. He doesn't run that league. And you can't do that. When you're in charge, you can't do that. You're the man. You're the commissioner for a reason. If the players were going to be the commissioner, they wouldn't need a goddamn commissioner. That could be a couple million dollars the NFL saves every year. So, yeah. I don't know. Goodell's a crook.
Here, here.
I'm done, yeah. If any of y'all wonder how I feel about Roger Goodell, feel free to ask.
Yeah, tell us how you really feel, Dave.
But it'd be interesting. You guys mark it down where Russell Wilson ends up. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I'll own it. But he
just
will
just keep
not
his
end
ass
up.
Out of Indy.
Oh, yeah, I'm with you. To be honest with you, as bad as we need a quarterback in Washington right now, God, and the word came up that Wentz might go to Washington, I was like, please, no. You're just making things worse. You're just making it worse. You know.
See, that's the problem with Indy is they can't just – they get their panties in a bunch – and you know, and I blame it clear up to the owner, Irsay, who in my mind is the one person who has no damn idea about what's going on anywhere. He needs to put the glue bottle down, stop sniffing it, and just let the people that know what they're doing do what they do best. Because if I don't care who the hell you are, and I don't know my ass from holding the ground about managing a football team. I don't even know all the rules. I don't know the different strategies. I mean, I'm just the idiot who sits back and watches it and grunts and moans, you know, from my couch. But I will say that it doesn't take a rocket scientist or, you know, the smartest general manager out there to realize if you just keep hitting the reset button on your quarterback every damn year because you're not happy enough with your record, even though it was a winning record, you're not going to go anywhere because it's going to take him at least a year, maybe two, to get, you know, everything in sync. Look at Manning in his first year. What was his record? Like 2-14 or some garbage like that?
Yeah.
That was
yeah.
the whole playoffs, you know?
Yeah.
They just needed to come together. Yeah. And it's like that's all that the Colts want to do is keep hitting the reset button on the damn quarterback. Chill out, lay off the glue, and just let them have another shot at it just because the other teams learned how to stuff it down JT's throat. They teamed up on him. And then it was like, well, shit, now what do we do? And, I mean, you know, he had a pretty good arm. He played decent in most of his games. If you can't protect and you can't catch the ball, then, you know, you got some shit to work on. But stop hitting the damn reset button. I'm not saying I'm a huge Wentz fan. I'm all about, oh, let's keep Wentz. It's not that at all because there's plenty of quarterbacks I would have liked to have had besides him. I wanted Stafford. I thought we should have gone out of our way to get Stafford. But with that being said, he's been here a year. We've kind of dug in. We have no draft picks as far as I know for this year. I think we traded them all for people like him and whoever else we had to maintain. I don't know. But it's like, you know, we've invested so much already. Just keep his ass around and see what he can produce in the second year. Then maybe think
right.
about hitting reset or doing whatever you got to do. I don't
yeah,
know.
You
that's,
gotta
that's my
give it a chance. You know, it's you've got to let things work sometimes. But I'll tell you what's wrong in Indianapolis. It's the exact same thing that's wrong in Las Vegas, formerly Oakland, is, and Ursay made it painfully evident, whereas Little Davis doesn't. He's just got the bad haircut. Ursay came right on out when Dad died and said, well, I want to build my own legacy. And that's when he shit-canned Peyton Manning. And Peyton Manning eased a couple states over to the west and put them on the map while, you know, and Andrew Luck, that poor young man, I'm going to tell you something, Joe Burrow, if they don't find somebody to protect that young man, he's going to be the next Andrew Luck.
Yep.
Because Luck could have been the man, but they didn't protect him the way Daddy also protected Peyton Manning. And, you know, it's like buying a Ferrari and leaving it in the driveway and not parking it in the garage. When you go out and you get one of these high draft pick quarterbacks like this, you've already got to have in mind that I've got to spend money protecting this young man. That's how Brady and Breeze and Favre and Manning, that's how these guys stayed intact for all these years. I can't say that for Roethlisberger, that poor man. It's a damn wonder. He won't be walking another 5 years. He'll be he'll have a cane. He'll be hobbled up. Joe Burrow's will be out of football in 5 years if they don't get him a line. Plain and simple. But
real quick, I think Ben Roethlisberger, I don't know if you guys ever saw on Nickelodeon, they used to have that show called You Can't Do That on Television. I may have hit on this several months ago, too. I can't remember who I've talked to about it. Some people didn't know what the heck I was talking about. But that show, You Can't Do That on Television, they had that chef. This is what I think Ben Roethlisberger is going to start. This is going to be his main quote. I heard that. And that's basically, with all the brain damage, everything he's got going on, that's about the only line he's going to be able to say.
You know, when he retired, you know, I didn't even realize he was 39. And I was like, Christ almighty, that guy's old. He's only 39 years old.
Yeah.
You know, and granted, the guy's Frankenstein. The guy's, you know, 7 foot, 400 pounds and everything, but it still hurts when you get hit. And the difference between ball players now, Stroh will tell you, Stroh, when we played ball in high school, the linemen very rarely ever ran the 40. Whether you're playing defense or offense, the linemen very rarely ever ran a 40 in less than 6 seconds, right? Because it was just how things went. But now these linemen, these backs, they're 320 pounds of lean muscle and can run that 40 in 4.4. So when they hit you coming at full speed, it hurts. I don't give a damn what nobody says. It ain't the old days where you can do the matador thing and sidestep these big things. They're going to come get you, and they're going to hurt your ass. And Roethlisberger, that poor man, has taken so many damn hits. Like you said, his brains are probably made of Bisquick, and we just haven't realized it yet. You know? But, yeah, it's going to be an interesting offseason. It'll be interesting to see what happens because there's going to be a real big shuffling of the quarterbacks. You know, there's already talk about Kirk Cousins, Derek Carr, of course, Wentz, we just touched on. And I don't know if y'all noticed, they won't accept the fact that Brady said he's retiring. They keep saying, well, if he comes back, you know what? He ain't got nothing to prove. He's going to go home, cuddle up next to Giselle, and be a dad. He's got his looks. He's got his health. Why ruin it? You know what I mean? Just go on, and you got nothing to prove. You're going to run out of fingers sometime soon anyway. Just retire and enjoy it. You've earned it. But there's a lot of teams in need. You still got Deshaun Watson, the big question mark over his head. What's going to happen there? Which I really don't understand his thing. And I'm going to sound crude when I say this, but the massage clerks, if you will, the therapist, if you will, it wasn't one of these drive-by molesting things. This guy emailed them and said, hey, this is what I want at this time. This is what I'm interested in. Okay. And when you want to get massages at midnight and 2 a.m, if you're there for medicinal purposes, you do that at 2:00 p.m. So, you know, he's out there, you know, hey, can you put your finger in my butt and all this kind of stuff? And that's neat. Fine. But though, you know, it's funny how everybody goes, ooh, oh my God, I can't believe it. I'm like, just did the same thing last night, dumbass. But nevertheless, he's not driving a car 100 miles an hour and killing people. He's not shooting people. He's not dogfighting. He's not slapping his wife and kids around. Yeah, is it creepy? Yeah, it could be creepy, depending on how you want to look at it. But on the flip side, there's so much ownership somebody has to take when it comes down to money. You know what I mean? And like I always say, if I have this big, Granny, I'll throw this at you. I got this big hairy spider in my hand, and I say, Granny, you eat this spider for $5. Are you going to eat it?
No.
Okay. I'm going to take the same spider, and I'm going to look at you and say, all right, Granny, I'm going to pay you $5 million to eat this spider. Are you going to eat it? Hell yeah.
I don't know.
$5 million? You're going to eat the hell out of that
million?
Spider. Right?
Hell yes, you are for
yes.
$5 million.
You're going to eat the hell out of that spider. But the problem is,
like spiders, so.
But 10 years from now, you'll come out and go, Dave made me eat that spider, and I feel so violated. Hey, you got $5 million for eating that goddamn spider. You know, so I don't want to hear your racket. You could have said no to the $5 million the same way you said no to the $5. So, you know, like the young lady who went to Kobe's room. You know, you don't go to Kobe Bryant's room at 3:00 a.m. and expect to play Nintendo. You don't come to my room at 3:00 a.m. and expect to play Nintendo. You come to my room at 3:00 a.m, there's one thing that's going to happen. So,
hey, babe,
I mean,
three words, Super Mario Brothers. Oh, yeah.
Damn right. Got to throw the banana on the track, you know, the Mario Kart. Get ready to win. Here comes that damn banana peel. But anyhow, it's Deshaun Watson's another one of those guys that he's going to be in that group of quarterbacks that has the big question mark. I got a feeling next, if you play fantasy football, next year's draft will be very, very interesting. You better do your damn homework before the draft. That's all I got to say. It's going to be, go see a lot of new uniforms, or a lot of new people in the uniforms is what I'm getting at. But nevertheless, I see we're going into extra innings. Due to my rant about Roger Goodell, it felt good to get it off my chest, so I appreciate everybody's patience in letting me exercise the demons, because it does get under my skin for no reason at all, but it is aggravating this shit. You're watching it, you're like, damn it, am I the only guy that sees this? So, yeah, it's like watching a movie. And the whole time in a movie, and you're going, you know, you're watching Scooby-Doo. And the whole time you're watching Scooby-Doo, you're going, it's that son of a bitch in the green shirt. I know it's him. Shut up, Dave. It's Scooby-Doo. No, I'm telling you. Sketchy bastard. That's him. So then here comes the end of the episode. They pull the mask off, and it was a dude in the green shirt. And I'm standing there going, see? That's where I'm at right now with the end of the bell. You know, I just see it. I know I sound like a damn lunatic, but. Damn it. It just seems like it's so perfect. You can't make this shit up, as they say. So, that being said, we're going to go ahead and pass it around the room for those of us who are still here bearing with my rant. So, Stro, you still with us, buddy?
Yeah.
Hey, there he is.
Yeah,
my
right
apologies.
On. Yeah, right on. Yeah. All right.
Stro took, a nap during my rant, which is probably to his benefit.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. That ESPN couldn't explain that rant any better, Dave. That was awesome.
Tomorrow morning, Stephen A. Smith will be on ESPN going, and there's this guy in North Carolina. He thinks he knows something. His name's Dave Atwell. However,
you say that was Chris Collinsworth? Because that was perfect. Was that Chris Collinsworth?
Yeah.
Now, here's a guy. You're right. Every person he talks about starts off with, now, here's a guy. Yep, right there with you.
Yeah, he overused the word guy. Him and Aikman guy it out pretty bad. They use that term, just, make it stop. Of course, I'll come home tomorrow, and there'll be two deputies' cars in my driveway with a cease and desist order from Roger Goodell and Chris Collinsworth and Joe Buck. Sir, you've been submitted these cease and desist orders. You can't get on there and tell the painfully obvious anymore. It's time to go back to talking to Bigfoot on your show every Wednesday night. Have to do an alien episode to get me off the ramp. Anyhow, with all that being said, Stro,
we all
need to know what you got going on, brother. Talk to me.
Oh, my God. Yes. Tomorrow night, WCW Retro, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we'll be talking about dream matches. So if you have a dream match, let me share, please call in. It's on VSUNation.com. So tomorrow night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Then Friday night, Throw Zone, my Homer Sci-Fi show on Facebook, facebook.com/Strollthemaestro at midnight Eastern Standard Time. Tomorrow, Friday night's feature will be I Married a Monster from Outer Space, so please tune in.
Oh, wow. That could be a true story for some of us. Yeah, just ask around. I'm sure you got plenty of people to go, yeah, that's some real shit.
Oh, man.
Yeah, we definitely.
That's a conspiracy theory on its own.
Yes, sir. Always good to have you aboard. Hopefully I'll be crossing paths with you here soon. We got some stuff coming up. Plus, we need to break bread, man, if things can slow down for me a little bit. We need to get together and bear down on a sandwich somewhere because it's been a bit since I've seen you. And we're not that far apart. Yeah, man, it's been too long.
Absolutely.
And hopefully we'll all come together in Myrtle Beach coming up here in May. So.
Oh, I can't wait. Yes. XCon, right? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, man. And I'm going to get a hold of Brad now. I know Jen kind of got sick this morning, so I didn't want to bother Brad this afternoon, but I'm going to try to get a hold of him this weekend and see if he's wanting to come on the show. And
that'd be great.
It'd be good to have him on because he's part of our con family. And wish him nothing but the best, and it sure is nice to have a guy on our side running those things because it makes setting up at a con so much easier. And if you've ever set up at a con, you can see. Yeah, and Stro, you could probably sing it better than I could. There's nothing better than going to a con, and they say, "Hey, good afternoon, Mr. Stro. My name is so and so. Follow me, and I'll show you where I'm setting up or where you're setting up." And you go over there, and you see a table, you see two chairs, and you're like, wow, this is good. And then you go to cons.
It's
going to
be a good
day. For me, I just write books. I just fall into the crowd. I'm another short, fat, bald, white guy that walks around in a con. But, you know, Stro, for crying out loud, you know, you got the hair, you got the whole look. And not to mention, you got Dorothy under your arm. And, you know, when you walk in and the damn organizers are just walking by you, you know, and you go on the .com and there's your picture right there. and all the organizers are just walking around you like you're a ghost. I'm telling you, it's a very uncomfortable feeling. So, yeah, it'll be really good to have Brad and Jen running that thing. And not only have they got their heads screwed on straight, but they're just good people. So it's
absolutely.
It's mm-hmm. going to be a treat having them running things. So, yeah, I want to try to get Brad and Jen on here to talk up the show. But we got to get together prior to that. Right on?
Absolutely. Yeah, anytime, man. Love you, bro.
Yeah, love you right back, man. Appreciate you joining us this evening. And, again, pardoning my rant. Very much obliged for the patience. So, Tim. I'm going to smack it. Well, better yet, let me smack it over there to Granny, because normally Granny got to do the ladies first, of course. So, Granny, talk to me, young lady. What you got going on?
Well, I just hope that everybody has a good rest of the week, and Granny has some exciting news, and
nice.
we have a good friend that lives in New York, and he's been wanting to take Granny to a WrestleMania for quite some time, and well, WrestleMania is going to be, you know, in Dallas this year, and with Arlington at the Cowboys Stadium, and he actually is going to be flying into Kansas City and getting his grandfather's car from his parents' house and driving to Arkansas and picking up Granny and David and Anthony, and we are taking Anthony to WrestleMania this year.
Yeah, we are, all right.
And
yeah,
I mean we're gonna be in the nosebleed section up at, you know, AT&T Stadium, you know, $43 seat. But you know what? I don't
care. I'll be looking in the crowd for the NWO shirts. I'll be looking in the crowd for the NWO shirts.
No NWO shirt. I mean, I'm gonna take my Granny shirt with me because we're gonna get to go to WrestleCon for one day while we're there. And there's a couple people that I would like to get to meet. So
awesome.
So we're excited about that.
Hey, did you hear a rumor about Stone Cold? You did hear the rumor, Granny, about Stone Cold going to be wrestling WrestleMania this year.
I heard about that, but I don't know. Like I said, I don't know what matches we're going to get to see because we're going night two. We're going on the third, and it's another two-night event. So we're going to be there April 3rd for WrestleMania, so.
Yeah, maybe you get to see Ronda Rousey there, man. She's wrestling Charlotte.
I hope
the title.
So. I hope so.
Yeah.
I can see Granny way up there in the nosebleed seats with her sunglasses and her black do-rag and her beard colored in. And she sits down.
No, NWO shirt, guys. No NWO shirt. No. No. Not going to happen, guys. Not going to happen. If they would let me wear my yellow Granny shirt in there without getting in too much trouble, I'll probably wear that.
Hey, I would be totally disappointed if you did not wear your Granny Hulkster shirt to the Super Bowl of wrestling.
Really?
My God!
Absolutely.
Yes, you better wear that yellow shirt.
If they'll let me wear it in, you know. I'm gonna try to wear it in there. So
I want y'all to wear your Kiss outfits like they wore in the movie Role Models. You know, that team when they did that medieval fighting. That's what y'all need to do. Is dress up like Kiss characters.
Yeah, you could be the Kiss demon, Granny.
That's it.
Anthony is very excited. We're still working on some things to try to help him. The residential care facility thing that they were talking about, I don't think that's going to work out. So what we're actually doing is we actually got his doctor to write a letter saying that he needed to have a full-time caregiver. So they were able, we're in the process of working on this, but they're transferring his one-bedroom HUD voucher to a two-bedroom. And, you know, the aide would not have to stay there 24/7, but there would be a spare room there if an aide ever had to spend the night for any reason, you know, to help him. So that's what we're working on right now, rather than him going to a facility in Mulberry or Clarksville, Arkansas, because they wanted to take both of his disability checks with the exception of $30.
Jeez.
And he would have to sleep in a standard twin-size bed that he wouldn't be able to fit in because he's 6'4". And so I just don't think that – I think he would not be very happy in a situation like that. So this way he could still see his friends, keep his dog. You know, he was going to move in with a friend of his up in Bella Vista, you know, but we got to thinking, well, why don't we just try for right now just to keep him in his own apartment, you know, and get him the help that he needs there until we figure out something else, you know, later on. So, I mean, that's what we're working on right now. So,
okay.
Cool. Yeah, hopefully
next Friday on February 25th, I have to give a shout out to my wonderful husband because it's going to be his birthday next Friday.
Oh, outstanding.
How are y'all celebrating, Granny?
Well,
y'all celebrating
I wanted to take him to an Oak Ridge Boys concert at the beginning of this month,
but that's when
we had that snowstorm. And that was when he was working the 12-hour shifts. So, unfortunately, we didn't get to go because the roads were bad from Springdale to Oklahoma. And I lost $70 on those two tickets that I didn't get to take to the Oak Ridge Boys concert.
The Oak Ridge Boys, man. Wow.
Yes.
Boom, bop, boom, bop, a mile, mile, get him.
Yes. Yes.
Hell yeah. Well, Granny, I tell you what, it's very good to hear that good news coming out of your side. I know you've been having a little bit of rough seas lately. So, yeah, that's outstanding. Man, good deal, man. Look forward to the – as a matter of fact, when you get back from WrestleMania, we're going to have Granny's post – WrestleMania roundup.
WrestleMania report.
Review show. Damn right.
Yeah.
And we'll just get on there, do the introductions, and just give you the floor, and we all get to listen to the adventure. So, yeah, look forward to that. That's outstanding news. Good to hear it. And I appreciate you joining us this evening very much. Good to have you back.
Well, thank you very much.
Absolutely. And, Tim, what kind of parting shots do you have there, my brother?
So later on this week, I will be concluding the work week by attending a telework for tomorrow and Friday, and I'll be wrapping up season 4 of Ozarks. Currently, I am on episode 5 or 6, I can't remember. I took a really long nap today, so I might actually try to plug one in here before I go to bed, but I don't know if that's a smart move or not because I wake up at 6. So we'll see. I don't know. And then, of course, you know, I'm going to be in withdrawal because then I won't – goes from streaming it to watching it whenever I want to all of a sudden, crap, now I got to wait for the next season. So you always have that kick in the nuts of reality when you stop doing that. So that's all I got. I don't really have any other major plugs. Still working on the house. We're still waiting on the team to come out and build up our porch. So hopefully they get it done in time for me to be doing the show out on the porch so I can enjoy the nice weather whenever that rolls around. That's all I got.
Good deal. Yeah, that's right. I actually had a cigar tonight during the show. Believe it or not, that's the second cigar I've had this year. Pretty dang amazing. And when it comes down to alcohol intake, you know how normally I could sit out here and get schlocked doing the show. I think I've had less than a 12-pack this entire year. And maybe half a fifth of whiskey, or better yet, it was some Kraken. Yeah, I don't know what's going on. I just haven't had the groove for it. Is it something that I said, well, I'm going to make a stand this year? Nah, just have not been in the groove with it for some reason. But tonight the weather's been good enough, and damn if I didn't enjoy the hell out of that damn cigar just now. So burned it all the way down to the knuckles. You know, when you burn a cigar all the way down, to the point where you can't hold it because it's so damn hot in your fingertips, and you keep blowing on your fingertips to cool them off, and you're thinking, I'm burning skin off my hand regardless. Time to throw this thing out.
Yeah.
So, leave it to me to enjoy something that might potentially end my life. But nevertheless, it was definitely good having that cigar this evening. So hopefully you'll be having some outdoor weather where you can go back outside and enjoy some of the show in the fresh air. Because it does make a difference doing it inside for some reason. It feels stuffy as hell. But, yeah, definitely good to have you aboard. I hope you get the feeling better. Good show.
Thank you.
Can't have nobody sick. And as for me, I'm just going to say my usual and say, folks, self-educate. Do not believe everything you hear. We're already seeing it now with the Hillary Clinton thing, and they're all saying, hey, Hillary did this. And I'm standing there going, no shit, huh? So, again, do not believe everything you hear. Do some of your own digging. Do some of your own learning. And cultivate your own opinion. It will do you wonders. And in the event you own a car, good luck, because the gas here is up around 350. And I got a feeling it ain't going to stop. So,
ouch.
Oh, yeah. And it's already hitting 5 in California. So, for those of you all that are driving, it's time to make that that decision again, you know what I mean, and get with your buddies, do some carpooling. Unfortunately, you're going to have to cut out some of your cruising, cut out some of your extracurricular stuff, because, you know, back when 15 months ago where you could take 20 gallons or $20 and fill your tank up, now $20 won't even get you a little over a quarter of a tank. So prioritize, folks. Make up your own mind. Don't let the media steer you in any direction. You make your own mind up. So with all that being said, oh, and one other thing, just a big shout, we're still missing our brother Tide, who's been tied up with work, missing his input. And so big shout out to our brother Tod. And as he would
and
say,
prayers for Velvet. And prayers for
that's
Velvet.
That's right. No doubt.
Yep, you bet.
Yeah, Velvet's got a lot going on, so y'all keep him in your thoughts, because that guy is fighting a lot of dragons one-handed. And but he's got that fighting spirit. He's going to pull through. It's just going to be hell on him. So, yeah, keeping those gentlemen in your thoughts would be much appreciated from all us here at Pop Culture Stars. And as Tod always says, big hugs, folks. So let's go in here. Ooh, to Atwell Manor. Hey, Misty.
Be
taking
safe,
up the whole list.
Be kind to one another. Be kind to your... Well, how does it go?
It's, take care of one another. Big hug.
There you go.
We miss you, Todd. But we appreciate everybody joining us this evening here on Pop Culture Stars, and we will see you all next week when we'll be ranting about somebody else doing something crooked and wearing our tinfoil hats. At least I'll be wearing mine. You know, you guys could watch, but hey. So, British lady, how about you putting on your tinfoil hat and telling us we got to go to bed? British lady, where are you?